I'll briefly introduce Minister Gallant, Minister of Housing and Construction, joined the government in 2015 on behalf of Kulanu Party. He was head of the Southern Command in the IDF from 2005 to 2010. In those years, we also saw Hamas taking over Gaza, so it's a very relevant title for you today. And he's a member of the cabinet, which I'm sure is subject to many interesting discussions and a lot of questions. With that, I will turn the floor to you for your opening remarks, again, on record, and then when we move to the Q&A, it will be for background. So, Minister Gallant, thank you.
Well, first of all, I apologize for my poor English. I'll try to do my best. And we decided to have this briefing today because 10 years ago, Hamas took over Gaza Strip exactly today. And Hamas for Israel is like ISIS for the Western world, as simple as that. A decade ago, I was in my second year as commander of Southern Command in Gaza Strip. It was about 2 years after the disengagement. We left Gaza, and all of us knew that there is an opportunity for Gaza. No Israeli settlers, no Israeli military. We left cultivated areas, greenhouses, and there was some kind of an hope. And we were watching what happening in Gaza, and today, 10 years ago, there was a brutal attempt and actually action operation that Hamas carry on and took over the control in Gaza in the most brutal way. They slaughter the people in the streets, they throw them from the roofs, 5 or 10 stories high. They close and circle areas, headquarters, and positions held by Fatah and others, and then either burn them or activate tunnels full with explosive underneath them. And when you are watching today, ISIS on the screen, it is less recorded, but very similar on the way that it was done. And although the Fatah had 5 or 6 times more people on the ground, they actually pushed them away from Gaza, including the policemen and some militias. And the situation had been changed. Looking on Gaza, Israel has only 3 major interests in Gaza. The first one, we want it to be quiet. The second one, we want it to be dismantled from weapons, ammunition, missiles, rockets, mines, tunnels, you name it. Neutralize. And the third one, we don't want to be responsible to what happening in Gaza because we are not there, and we disengage from the area. The problem with these 3 interests is that there is an internal conflict between them. If you keep the area quiet, they accumulate weapons and rockets and dig tunnels. If you act against them, the situation is not quiet, of course, and you turn to be responsible in a way. So we need to maneuver very delicately against the situation that is happening in this part of the world. Basically, what happened in those 10 years, actually 11 years, because by the beginning of 2006, there was so-called democratic elections. But as you well know, democratic elections are a perpetuum system. You need to renew it every few years. Usually it's not 10 years and not 11 years. 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. I don't see the next elections in Gaza. So they took over, and I would say 30 or 40,000 people took 2 million as hostages in Gaza Strip. Most of the population do not want to be involved in terror action, but they are risking their life if they will not obey to this monster that called Hamas, that seek only its political benefit and personal benefit, and not the future of the people of Gaza. Now you can tell the difference looking on Judah and Samaria comparing to Gaza Strip. When someone is sending you flowers, you're sending back candies, as it happening in Judah and Samaria recently for a long period of time. When someone is shelling you and bombing you and create tunnels, tens of them, in order to cross the border, is not thinking of sending candies or flowers through these tunnels. He's thinking about something else. And those tunnels and those terror actions are returned in a very firm way by Israel. And the results are accordingly. So if I'll put it in the best way, I would say that a good economic situation in Gaza Strip is in Israel's best interest. We want the population to have better life. The problem is the separation between any kind of goods that is entering Gaza Strip. And you could have read the official Saudi papers and media recently, and they said what we said. Hamas leaders and Hamas militias are taking whatever is entering into Gaza, and instead of building hospitals and schools, they are using those materials, whether it's concrete or iron or whatever, in order to create tunnels and in order to create rockets. And this is, of course, a big problem. Now, the proportion between Israel and Hamas is 1,000 to 1, not 100 to 1. This is a small, isolated, extremist organization. And it is very difficult for them to compete with Israel. Let's discuss, using my previous experience, let's discuss what are the military options that Hamas has. Okay. First of all, you know, in general, before options, the most important, or one of the most important principles of war is depth. You need someone behind you. Now, Hamas is isolated. Not too many behind them. It's close from the Egyptian border. It is close from the Mediterranean. It is close by Israel, from the Israeli side, basically. Very difficult to smuggle into Gaza Strip. And not too many supporters all over the world. Very few. Because most of the Muslim countries, and of course the Western countries, understand that this is a terror organization, part of the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, talking about the military options. If you are leading Hamas military regime in Gaza, and you want to penetrate into Israel. Now, if you try to use the left wing, the sea, it is next to impossible because of the Israeli Navy. If you want to circle through Sinai Desert, close to Egypt, to Sinai Desert, and then come back to Israel, to the Negev area, very difficult because of the Egyptians and the Israelis. If you like to use the direct approach on the surface, not very easy, difficult. If you try to use the aerial atmosphere, it's not very efficient because of Iron Dome if you try to use rockets. Now you have the tunnels. And the tunnels turned to be, during the last few years, the strategic weapon. We were dealing with tunnels in Gaza Strip 20 years ago. I was the division commander, a brigadier general at that time, 20 years ago. Later on, I turned to be the commander of Southern Command, and the tunnels were more efficient. Now they are much more efficient. But what's happening in Gaza is that we are basically blocking this channel by creating an obstacle under the ground that will eventually prevent the option to use tunnels against Israel, even though it will take some time. Now, looking on the situation in Gaza Strip, first of all, Hamas, as I mentioned, doesn't have too many options. Second, is isolated. Third, there is a growing pressure of the population that demand what is necessary for the population, some kind of standard, some standard, reasonable standard of living, and they go to their leaders, their government. And you have tens of thousands of people that are the Hamas militia that train day and night in order to do only one issue, to act against Israel in a terror way, either through tunnels or in another way. Now, take all these ingredients, and on top of that, you prevent them in an ongoing system to use tunnels against Israel. So when the first and the second and the third tunnel will be blocked and they will know it, we are pretty sure that they will evaluate the situation. And we have to be ready for this moment, for this point, in order to make sure that we are not surprised by Hamas if they will think that it's a good idea for them to use those tunnels, because they are either use them or lose them. So they will be in a critical point. Therefore, we have to be on alert on this summer, and I'm pretty sure that the IDF will do his job on the best way. Now, I think that on the long term, we have to make sure that there will be another leadership and another government for the people of Gaza for their own benefit. but this is not only up to us. So basically, we want Gaza to be a prosperous place, not under Israeli responsibility, and free from any kind of weapons that can risk Israel. We hope that in the future we will achieve it, but we have done the most we can regarding this issue, and basically left the areas something that is not very common in our world. So that's fulfill my brief for the time being. Doesn't solve the problem, but this is the situation.
Just before we move to the Q&A, I will allow myself to ask a question. Do you have any estimation of when the obstacle against the tunnels will be ready?
I have my own estimation, but I wouldn't like to share it with Hamas. So they will learn.
And maybe an on-record word about the cabinet decision about the electricity supply to Gaza?
Well, first of all, as you well know, the cabinet discussions are secret. But all I can say is that this is an internal struggle on the Palestinian side. Abu Mazen decided that he is not willing to pay the same price to the Israeli electricity company, and he reduced it by something like 25%, designated Gaza as the place that will get less electricity for internal Palestinians political reasons. Mm-hmm. So nothing we can do about it.
So why are you having a 3-hour meeting if you can't do anything about it? So why did you have a cabinet meeting if you can't do anything about it? It's in a journal.
This wasn't the reason for the cabinet meeting. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of problems to discuss in the cabinet, believe me. And Gaza is not the biggest one.